The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel as written to us by Luke. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way, and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." If I can stop right there, actually, he just said, "Hi." but they have to make it sound important, so he just said, "Hi," that's all. But they were startled and terrified, and they thought they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. It is me, myself. Touch me, see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet, and they were incredulous for joy and were amazed. And he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. And he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. Everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms had to be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said, "Thus it is written that the Christ would have to suffer, and he would be raised from the dead on the third day, and that a change of heart for the forgiveness of sin would be preached in his name to all the nations beginning in Jerusalem. And you are witnesses to these things." This is good news from the Lord. So before we dive into Luke's Gospel, let's point out one line from the first reading, the Acts of the Apostles, which was also written by Luke. And after accusing, somewhat condemning, his own people for killing Jesus, then he has this unusual line which might have slipped right by you. He says, "But I know you did this in ignorance. You did not know what you were doing." He is mirroring, of course, what Jesus said on the cross. And he says, "Your leaders did not know what they were doing." You see, whenever we do evil things, we're basically unconscious. We don't know what we're doing. If you were conscious, fully conscious, you would always love. But they were unconscious. Now, the amazing thing is, what is this new spirit abroad in the world that allows Luke to talk that way? That allows him to forgive? There is not the usual call for vengeance, recrimination, punishment, "We'll get even." This is what you would expect. But in fact, he lets them off the hook. So that moves us to the gospel. To describe, or try to describe, what is this new spirit in the world? Well, remember, most ancient peoples, they didn't think like we do with concepts and abstractions and abstruse ideas. They just told stories. And they knew the story, and that would let them hold on to the truth. So if you were going to tell a story that would try to communicate how this new spirit is in the world, you couldn't find a much more perfect one than this. And he tells a story in this way. First of all, we have Jesus, you were here last Sunday, I'm sure. Last Sunday preceded this one. And we have them happening at the same time. So suddenly we have a Jesus who is bilocating. He's in two places at the same time. So this tells us something. This Jesus is not physically localized in one place anymore. He's everywhere. They would have got that immediately. And he walks up just like I told you, like friends always do, and says, hi. Just meets them in the middle of life, on the way, which is the very phrase that is used. Their first response, there's four emotions mentioned. They were startled. They were terrified. He says, why are you troubled? And he says, can you not see? Why are you unable to see? So he says, touch me. Almost just the opposite of what he told Mary Magdalene. He told her, don't touch me. But that's another sermon. We'll have to wait for a Sunday why he said that. But to these men, he says, touch me. Touch my hands and my feet. For you see, I am not a spirit, a ghost, which is what we all think, don't you probably think? God is somehow spiritual, invisible, and on one level, that's totally true. But the gospel is trying to move us to a different level and saying the new place where God is localized is not just everywhere, but in the human and in the physical and in the material and in the body. Exactly where we didn't expect God to be. Touch me and know. This is a very different place for God to appear. In fact, 2,000 years later, for the most part, we don't get it, we don't believe it, because you are now that physical body, your friends, your neighbors, humanity, and the word would have to be the same. Touch it. Draw close to it. Draw close, yes, to its pain, and it is there that then you will meet God. Now notice, then the emotions change. Before, they were startled and terrified and troubled. Now it says, they were incredulous with joy. Amazed. And he says, I know you still don't get it, so let's make this even more ordinary, what you've all done this morning or going to do after you leave here. Do you have anything to eat? I mean, you couldn't get much more ordinary. He's asking to have breakfast with them. This is God entering the ordinary, oh so ordinary, oh so daily world. And he took it and he ate it right in front of them. Oh my God, this is not the risen Christ we expected. He doesn't appear to be very risen at all. He's eating. I remember when I was studying the resurrection 30 years ago in the seminary, or 40, I guess it was, and our systematics professor, he said, if you'd been standing outside the tomb on Easter Sunday morning, what do you think you would have seen? And of course, raised with the usual Christian art, we thought the stone would roll away, which I guess it did. And Jesus would step out holding a big flag. He's always holding a flag. There's never anything on the flag. I don't know why. I'm trying to figure that out. But he's risen, and he's happy, of course. But he's back in his old body. He says, no, that misses the whole point. He's not back in his old body. He takes on a new body, which is the universal body. And so, if you had stood there, if a video camera had been at the resurrection, probably what you would have seen was like a strobe light of this Jesus' body moving beyond one moment of space and time to everywhere. This Jesus can no longer be localized in one place, precisely because he's every place. And that means, and dare we believe it, right now in this room. We haven't even started the Eucharist yet, but we don't have to wait for the bread. Jesus is already here. And his primary presence is, yes, in the bread of the Eucharist, but in the bread of your bodies and of humanity. And we simply feed you the bread of the Eucharist to remind you that you also are the body of Christ. It's not about the transforming of bread that Christianity is concerned. It's about the transformation of people. And until it achieves that purpose, the risen Christ has not risen.